Kiribos, I hope all is good. We have the tremendous chus of starting the eighth parak of the Masechta, and this parak primarily talks about a woman's nichsei malug. If you remember the different types of property that a woman brings into a marriage and what happens to that property. So the nichsei malug, right, she owns it, but the husband is allowed to use, the peros is allowed to use the produce of such property throughout the life of the marriage. That's what they call malug. Malug means plucking or picking, and the image that you can use is that if the husband is allowed to pluck the feathers, but the woman owns the chicken, if that's helps you understand what's going on over here. So the Gemara says like this. Let me back now with the 2 second introduction. The Mishnah says, Ha'isha shenaflula nechasim. If a woman got some sort of property, inherited some property, ad shlotisaris, before she got engaged. Right, and Rashi fills in the implication, and then Vinis Arsa, then she became engaged. They had Erisin, the first step of marriage, right, where they're not fully halachically married. So Modi Misham Bezel Al Shemocheres Menosenes Vekayim. Right, everybody agrees that she can do whatever she wants with that property, and that's just, it's a sale, it's a gift, etc. Nafulah Mishin Is Arsa, but if she then inherited it after she became engaged. So then, there's a machlokas. Beishamay omen timkor. Beishamay says lechachila she can do whatever she wants with the property, and Beisil omen Beisil says no lo timkor. Right, you shouldn't lechachila do whatever you want, whatever she wants with the property, because really the husband has a claim to it. But elav elamodim she machra even nasna kayim. But they agree that if she did, right, so then the sale or the gift or whatever it is good, and the property right changes hands. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says actually. What do you mean? I understand. This guy just married a woman. Right? He's getting married to her. Right? He's zocha. Right? He should be zocha to whatever she owns. Right? He's zocha to her. She's zocha what she owns. Meaning that the husband should have a say, and then the sale should be invalid if after they were engaged, after they had the first stage of marriage, she got this property. Right? That should go to the husband. We'll see in a second that, let's go back there. Anyway, so Rabbi Gamliel said, what do you mean? Amar Bahem, he said, Ala chadashim anu boshim, ela shatem megalgulin alinu zayishanim. So basically Rabbi Gamliel said back to him, he said, is a halacha we're about to learn in a second. So let's learn that halacha in the Mishnah now, and then we'll go back to what Rabbi Gamliel said. Right? Nafulah mishinisneis, if a woman, this is the third case, right? If a woman gets property after she's fully married to the husband, then if everybody agrees that if the woman sold it or whatever, then the husband can take it back. Right? He can get it out of the sale. Now what Rabbi Gamliel was saying is that I don't even understand that halacha. Because really this is nechsei malug, the woman should own the property, right? The woman owns the property. The husband can apparently make the sale not be valid because he can use the produce of the field. But again, why should that work? I mean, Galil said, I don't understand. The woman owns the property. Why should that be the case? So you're telling me, right, what he said before. You're telling me that I already don't understand why the husband can protest the sale if they're fully married. Now you're telling me that the husband can protest the sale when they're not fully married? Right? I mean, when they're just an arusa? Right? Why would you say that? Right? The chachamim, right? Why would you say that when they're an arusa, right, the husband can already protest the marriage? Okay, let's go back to the Mishnah. Achlo niseis v'niseis. Let's say she got the property right, between or before she was fully married, right, and then she became fully married, and then she sold it. So Rabbi Gamliel omer imachar amanas nakayim, and then Rabbi Gamliel says. But that it's a good sale. Amar Chanina ben Akavi. Chanina ben Akavi says, not exactly what we're used to him saying. That's something else. But okay. But he says here. He says Amar Chanina ben Gamliel. He said no. The exchange between the Chachamim and the Rav Gamliel happened in this case, in the case where she got the property and then she became fully married and then she sold it. As opposed to the previous case where she was in Arusa. Right, that she was an Arusa, and she was still an Arusa, she was not yet a Nesua, she was not yet fully married. So that's where Rabbi Chanina ben Akavi says the discussion was between the Chachamim and Rabbi Gamliel, right? As opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, who said it was on the last case. Amr l'chan of Rabbi Gamliel, hov v'zachah v'isha, right? So v'lo yizkeh ben achazim, right? It was since he married her, he should be able to control the property. So l'ham this Rabbi Gamliel said back to them. So what do you mean? Al chadash shemana boshem elat megalgal malay yishanim. What about? I don't understand why the husband can protest if they're fully married. Now you're going to tell me the husband can protest the sale if they're not fully, if the property, not if they're not fully married, but here they are fully married. But if the property came to the woman before they were fully married. Okay, so those are two versions of the discussion between the Chachamim and Rabbi Gamliel. And finally, the last part of the Mishnah is something different. Rabbi Shimon, well, not something different, but a difference of opinion. Rabbi Shimon is cholik. He makes a distinction between bein nechasim and nechasim. It depends on what kind of property we're talking about. Nechasim ha'idurim la'bal, nechasim that the husband knows about, and we have to define what that is in the Gemara. Lo tzikor, that she can't sell. Vim rachav and nasna batal, and that if she sold them, it's not a good sale. But she ain't even doing Laval, Lom Tim Korbin, Machar, and Asnagayim. But if the husband doesn't know about the property, she still shouldn't sell it. But if she does, then it's a legit sale. Okay, so let's go back to the Mishnah, right? Obviously, we have to analyze what's going on over here. Maishna Reshadol Pligi, right? Maishna Sefi the Pligi. What is the difference between Beishama Beis Hillel? Beishama Beis Hillel, everybody agrees, right? In the first case, right? Again, when she got property and then she became engaged. So everybody agrees she can do whatever she wants. In the second case, right, what happened? She got engaged and then she got the property. Well, she's still not fully married. So why? What's the problem? Why is that different? So Amrei Debei Rabbi Yanai, Reishu B'Schuso Naflu, Seifa B'Schuso Naflu. Yeah, because as we said, in the first case, she got the property when she was not yet engaged. In the second case, she got the property after she was engaged. Right, pretty simple distinction. Kamar says, what do you mean? B'Schuso Naflu, Kimachar V'Nasa Ma'akayim. Well, if you're telling me that after they got engaged, after they had Erusin, the first stage of marriage, that's considered to be the husband's property, realm. So why could she sell it? Why can she sell it? Right? Everybody agrees that she can still sell it. So Gemara says, no. Actually, Ela Reisha Vayde B'Schuso Naflu, everybody agrees that in the first case, it's entirely her reshus. Her schus, the property falls to her, and she can do whatever she wants with it. The Seifa, in the second case, where she got the property after she was kind of, she was engaged, but not fully married. So then, Emar B'Schuso, Emar B'Schuso. Then, yeah, you could go both ways, right? You could say that she's not fully married, therefore it's still hers. Or you could say that the husband will eventually, right, have rights to this property. Right? Again, the Erusin may lead to Nisuin, Rashi says. We don't know if it's going to lead to Nisuin. They might annul the marriage, and then the husband never had any claim. Right? The husband can only use the peros, can only use the property, the fruit of the produce of the property after they're fully married. So it could lead to that. So we don't know. So therefore, lechachila lo timkar v'machra, right, v'nas nakayim. Therefore, lechachila she shouldn't. But if she did sell it, so then it is a legit sale. Because again, after all, she's still the owner of this stuff. Okay. Now, again, back to this whole discussion in terms of what the conversation was between the Chachamim and Rabbi Gamliel, right? Well, what case was that going on? So, Rabbi Yehuda said, right? It was on the second case that if after she got engaged and she had the property, then she can sell it. And he had the machlokes b'sham v'sel. So, they asked the following question: Rabbi Yehuda alechachila or abedievet? Meaning, when Rabbi Yehuda came to say, "Hey, again, remember, go back to the Mishnah." Rabbi Yehuda said that the Chachamim said in front of Rabbi Gamliel, since the guy got married to the woman, he's zocha to the property and he can protest the sale. Now, is that going on b'sham v'sel? B'sham said she can sell even the chachila, and therefore, theoretically, the shaila would be the Rabbi Yehuda would be saying the Chachamim all know that she can't sell the chachila, but b'dieved, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it's good. If he's going on Beis Hillel, so then Beis Hillel says that he shouldn't even do it l'chachila, but if the sale is good b'dieved, so then he's going even on that, right? And he's saying that the Chachamim would hold that the sale is not good whatsoever. So the Gemara is going to quote Tashma, quote a Braisa that's even more explicit. Tanya within the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amru l'fnei Rabbi Gamliel, they said in front of Rabbi Gamliel, hol v'zu ishto v'zu ishto, since both being engaged and being married, meaning both Erusin and Nisuin, they're married, zu machra batal, avzu machra batal. And so in both cases, if she would sell the property when they're fully married, it'd be batal. So too, when she's an Arus, when she's there in Erusin, if she sold the property, it would be batal. So malhem al chadashim anaboshim, elah shetam agagulin olem, as yishanim shmaminah. So mean, so basically what they're saying is that it should be no good whatsoever, right? That Rabbi Yehuda was complaining against Beis Hillel, and saying that even, right, if it was sold, it should be completely no good. So therefore, Shvamelos, we see that was actually the discussion, and that was what Rabbi Yehuda was saying. Okay, Tanya Malan and Brisa. Again, similarly, right, this Brisa discusses basically what was going on in the Mishnah, but with a couple of variations, so just pay attention to that. Amar Rav Chanina ben Akavya, lo kach yeshivim Rav Gamliel HaChachamim, right, we had Rabbi Yehuda Shita, now we have Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya. It said that the conversation was Ella Kaka Shiva. This was the conversation. Lo Ima Martin Benisua Shekin Baila Zakai Bimitsiasu Maisia Deva Faris Nidarea. Right, that you can't compare, right, again, a Nisua, right, again, we're gonna say that the woman has no right to sell the property because the husband is allowed to get rid of her Nidarim and he keeps whatever she finds and her Maisia Deva, whatever her salary is. Again, we talked about corresponding to what the husband has to do, right? He has to redeem her. If she gets captured, he has to give her food, etc., right? Again, it's not for nothing. But still, the husband has sort of control over some things that are going on. So, Tomru Barusa, you can't say the same thing about an Arusa. Right? The husband has no power of any of these things when they're in Erisin, when they're just engaged. So how can you compare those to the two cases? So they say back to him, Rabbi, Machra la ad shalo nises, that's only if she sold the property right before she was fully married. But nises rachach machra, right, ma'o. But what about if she got fully married? Right, meaning that she had the stuff, right? Meaning she had the property and then she got fully married and then she sold them. Then he said to them, right, Avzu Mocheres Venusaris Kaim, even that works. Right? Even that works. Nusaris Kaim. Right? Since again, since she got the stuff before she became fully married, so then her sale is good. So Amulo, and then they said, Actam Ho Vazakabi Isha, let's give him a chasim. What do you mean? What are you talking about? The guy got married, so why shouldn't he take all of her property? So Amulam, and that's what Rabbi Gamliel said back to them, Allah Boshame Ella Tamagalanoseo Asaishanim. Okay, so basically the same conversation we had in the Mishnah. So the problem is that Rav Gamliel, in this case, said, Afzu mocheres v'noseres v'kayim, that in the case over here where the woman got the property before she was fully married, then got married, and then sold it, Rav Gamliel seems to imply, mocheres v'noseres v'kayim, she can do that l'chachila. The Mishnah had said, right, im machra, right, that's the we quote over here, im machra, if she sells it, so then it works, implying that it's b'di'evet. Right, that's what we say over here. Doesn't the Mishnah say actually in this case and this case, I'm Gabriel Omer and Machra Benas Nakayim. In Machra, if she sells, seems to imply it's only B'di'evet. So meaning that where our Brisa said it seems to imply it's Lechachila, because it says Afzu Mochas Venosenas, that seems to imply she can do it without any restrictions, even Lechachila. So I'm Rav Zvid, Rav Zvid said, Tani Mochas Venosenas Kayim. No, so you have to change the Mishnah. Fascinating. Well, Tosus doesn't like that. Why would you change the Mishnah based on a brisa? Okay, but either way, what he means is, right, you should change, that's at least what Rashi says, we should change the Mishnah instead of the brisa and say that, yeah, that l'chachila, right, that it works l'chachila, and the Mishnah shouldn't be b'di'evet. Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa says, no, lo kasha, there's no problem, right, because the Mishnah and the brisa are different, right, how Rav Yehuda leaves Rav Gamliel, how Rav Chanina leaves Rav Gamliel, right, it depends on which version of the story of the conversation between the Chacham and Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rav Gamliel you're going according to. If it's according to Rav Yehuda, so that's the Mishnah. Right? And the Brisa, right, is talking about Rav Chanina ben Akavia's version, where he would hold that it is l'chachila, that she's able to do that in that case. The Gemara says, Rav Chanina ben Akavia, like Beis Shammai, but what do you mean? Right, Rav Chanina ben Akavia, he's going to hold like Beis Shammai? Right, again, that's Beis Shammai, she thought that, again, if you remember from the beginning of the Mishnah, that she can sell even l'chachila. So the Gemara says, Hachi Kamer, no, what he meant to say is, Lo Neklu Beis Shammai Beis Hillel al Dover Zeh. Chanina ben Akavia is saying that there is no, forget that in the Mishnah, there is no Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel in that case. Meaning that everybody holds that if the woman got the property before she was fully married, right, she can sell it, right, after she gets married. That there was actually no machlokes against what we saw in the Mishnah, that there was a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, right, l'chachilo b'di'evet. Okay, fine. Rabbi Shmuel Damri Tervayu, Bein Shenaflu L'Nechazim, Ad Shelo Nisarsa, Bein Shenaflu L'Nechazim, Mishnah Nisarsa, right, regardless of whether she got the property before or after she became engaged, Venises, and then she became an Nisuin, right, a fully married, and then she sells them, Right, so then Habal Motzi Minad Lekuchos, the husband is able to get that property back. So Gemara says, what do you mean? Come on. Who's that like? That's like nobody. Right, neither version of our Mishnah. Right, Loker Rabbi Yehuda, Loker Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya. It's like neither of them. Again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Gamliel says it's good b'dieved. Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya says the sale is good l'chachila. Now you're telling me that the sale is no good and the husband can get rid of it. So Gemara says, yeah, in Achinami, in Huta, Amri Kerabu Seinu. They say like some, they are holding like a different shita. Right, the Tanya was learning a brisa. Regardless of whether she got the property before or after the engagement, and then she got married, and then she sold the stuff. So Abal Motzi Min HaLekuchos, right? This Rabbeinu, this holds that the husband can get rid of the sale. Okay, so now the Mishnah said it's Mishnah is Eil Modim, right? After she gets married, everybody agrees. We said that the husband can get rid of the sale. Right? So Lema Tanina the Takana Zusha. Maybe this is right Takana Zusha. What is Takana Zusha? Right? The Amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina. But Usha Yitkinu, right? In Usha they made the following Takana. That Aisha Shemachar V'Nichsei Malug B'Chayi Ba'ala Habal Motzi Imay Lekuchos. If the woman sells the Nichsei Malug when her husband was still alive, right? Then and then Umesa, then she dies, right? Habal Motzi Imay Lekuchos. The husband can go get the property back. That seems to be what we're saying. The husband can annul the sale. Skomar says no. Masnisa B'Chaya. The parents. Now, our Mishnah is talking about when they're alive, and it's just because the husband is entitled to the produce of the property, right? So that's why he can annul the sale. But the Kanos Usha, that's Begufa Shal Karka Lachremisa. No, when we're talking about the Mishnah says the husband can get the stuff back, right? That's the produce. But the Kanos Usha was that we're talking about the actual land, right? And after the wife passed away, right, that's already another chiddush, right? That even after the wife passes away, and right, the husband loses that result, loses the ability, excuse me, to get the produce. Rabbi Shimon Cholik Ben Nachasim. Again, we mentioned that said Rabbi Shimon at the end, but right, he says that the difference depends on whether the husband quote unquote knew about the property or didn't. Right, if he knew about the property, then she can't sell. If he didn't. Then if she does, then the sale is good. So the Gemara says, what did he mean know about the property? Right? Elohim you doing, Elohim she'inu you doing. What do you mean he knew what they were? So two possibilities. Amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, you doing me karkai, she'inu you doing metaltalin. It's simply splitting karka metaltalin. Karka, which is fixed, and metaltalin, which is, you know, cash, movable property, etc. Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Elohim you doing, hein? Right? No, both of these are considered you doing. The Elohim she'inu you doing. What do you mean? Something. What do you mean when we say stuff that the husband does not know? If the woman somehow inherits, right, her long lost cousin passes away, no relatives, the inheritance goes all the way back to her, right? He doesn't know about it, right? It's totally far. The husband is never any shaychus. Right? Never didn't know about this relative. Didn't know he would eventually inherit. And in that case, that's what we're talking about. She'inu you doing, and that's what we say if she sells it that the sale is valid. Tanya mihachi, this just gets into that. Right, elohi she'inu you doing. Right, kol she'yashav is kind of enough. Lo nechasim diyaseyam. Right, if any situation where we have a long lost relative and some sort of inheritance from far away, right, that is a case of where the husband did not know, and that's where the sale would be valid. But otherwise, the husband would be able to stop the sale, right, and get the stuff back. Okay, Shkoya Kol Rabosei. We'll go right through the Halakha Shas tomorrow, right? Getting coming up on Rosh Hashanah. Right? It's definitely good to start plowing through, keep on plowing through Shas. Have a great day or night, depending on when you're listening to this.